How are your discussion groups? Yeah. I always love that part of retreats. You get out of it what you put into it, you know, and it stirs your heart on some things that you won't ordinarily think about. So now we're kind of like moving into the last, I guess I'll call it 5 years of my life. What am I seeing? So I'm seeing that he's maturing me and beginning to use me. A key verse to this and a key concept that I've been wrestling with for the past year is surrender. And if you read anything about Oswald Chambers, you'll come across at some point this idea of surrender, completely surrendering. It's what I'm designed to do. It's like when I've asked my bride to marry me and she says, I do. She may not realize it, but she's surrendering to coming to live life with me. And that's this amazing thing. So Romans 12:1. Who's got Romans 12:1?
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
So a key phrase in there is a living sacrifice. It's like, how do you be a living sacrifice? Sacrifice means you're dead. Well, that's right, Shrek. Your old man is, you got to reckon, I'm reckoning myself dead. In Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about considering myself. When I wake up in the morning, I remind myself when I'm spending time with the Lord that I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. There's a scripture for that. So surrendering. And then a real key, guys, and thank whoever invited me to this retreat, thank you, because over the last couple of months as I've worked on this, I've realized that God has had to really deal with me on whether I really believe what His Word says. And Gail Jackson challenged me a couple years ago. I mean, in terms of the process, I've been moving along, but I hadn't moved where I think God wanted me to get. And that is believing that He hears me, and I can even influence Him. All right, asking Him to do something. The Old Testament has lots of prayers. Moses praying that God would spare the people again. The Old Testament's full of those. But learning to take Him at His word, and that understanding that this choice to do that is an act of my will. And I keep harping on it, but thank God for Bill Ritter, the counselor, who told me, Andy, you know what to do. And that's a function of exercising my will, to choose to believe the words I'm reading right out of the scripture. And so there's some key ones here I want to share with you guys. Who's got Jeremiah 33? Stan?
Call to me, and I'll answer you, and I'll tell you great and many things which you do not know.
Everybody hear that? Why don't you say that again, loud?
Call to me and I'll answer you and tell you great and many things which you do not know.
Isn't that awesome? Here's the God of the universe who's calling me into fellowship with Him, into communion with Him. And He says, call to me and I'll tell you these great things. I'll reveal to you what I'm going to do in your relationships that are so broken, almost seemingly beyond repair. And I'm going to fix them. I can do that, Andy. Just get back in that boat and ride it out. I'll be there with you. Okay? Psalm 4:3.
But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and one who lifts my head.
Yeah. Matthew 7, 7 through 11.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?
I probably could have taught a whole weekend on this, that chapter, that's those verses. But the heart of God for me is embedded. Ask, Andy, seek, knock, and the word will. I will open doors. I will reveal things to you. Not maybe or might. But this is God of the universe saying, promising me these things. So I'm encouraged more. I'm enthusiastic now about asking and seeking and knocking. And some of the things we talked about in our discussion groups, the desires of my heart, the strong, strong desire I have for my wife to get to a place where we're really together. And that's intimacy, connecting in a common and something in common. And I'll share more about that here in a few minutes. James 5:16. Somebody probably has that from memory. Who has that to read?
Be
Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Yeah. And there are other versions that say the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man. So, fervent. The story, the parable of the widow and the judge. Fervent, persistent. The Lord Jesus agonizing and falling to the ground on his face and sweating drops of blood. If that's not fervent, I don't know what is. But the inspiration and the model that is for me, the way, in terms of praying, is extremely powerful. So part of growing up for me has included transformation and understanding my new identity. So who has Romans 12 too?
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah. So for me, that process is staying in the Bible consistently and being consistent about memorizing Scripture. Rick and I talked for 4 or 5 years about the importance of memorizing Scripture. He encouraged me to get with somebody. And I tried meeting with one guy. Didn't work. Eventually, Rick graciously said, hey, I'll meet with you. And so we've been meeting for, what, six months? It's been awesome. And so I'm hiding his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. And that God's using that to transform me. His other vision is contained, or part of his vision is contained in Colossians 1, 27, 28. Who has that? Jason, do you have that?
Yes, sir.
Who did I give that to? Oh, I'm sorry.
To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ.
Wow, that's strong. So the mystery is, Andy, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, not your glory, it's his glory. Tom and I were talking about that men who have sought glory to put their names on buildings, churches, seminaries, what have you. The state capital, rather than humbly, you know, my prayer, guys, for months has been, that whatever happens here today, he will get the credit. I've worked so hard on this because I want God to use me to get something across to you guys, to break down a barrier that you might have, to help you with a breakthrough, to get more intimate with him. And for him to get the glory, I don't want anything to do with that. For me, in this process is dying to people-pleasing and growing into God-pleasing. You know my background, I've shared it a couple times, but I was a big time and still battle with it, being a people pleaser, needing approval, needing acceptance, right? But God's changing that as he meets my needs and his heart and mine are knitting closer together. I'm less and less concerned about it. I'm freed up to tell people the truth instead of telling them what I think they want to hear. Or, for example, with clients, telling them something like, oh yeah, I got that done, and I didn't, and then run in my office and hurry up and work on it. That's a lie, okay? Instead of trusting God to be honest with them, maybe I wasn't supposed to have that client or do that business. Tell them the truth. If they fire me, they fire me. Look at me, I'm not starving. great verse, and this is from The Message, is Galatians 6, 14 through 16. For my part, I'm going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master Jesus. Because of that cross, I've been crucified in relation to the world, set free from the stifling atmosphere of pleasing others and fitting into the little patterns that they dictate. You ever felt like people pleasing in your life is like a ball and chain? You just can't get rid of it? It's like being in prison and not being in prison. Thank God for beginning to free me from that. Jason, I think you do have these. Ezekiel 33:11, 2 Peter 3:9. A few years ago, I was thinking about my family, and I showed pictures of them to y'all earlier. My brothers, Brandon and Alec, my sister Amy, my little niece. And as I meditated on these verses in Psalm 73, God just broke my heart. I started to weep, and I started to write on a notepad all the people that are lost that I don't know, that don't know him. And so, Jason, please read Ezekiel 33:11, 2 Peter.
Save them. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel?
And 2 Peter 3:9.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
So for me, guys, something that revolutionized my time with the Lord in Bible study was seeking his heart, his personality. And so what I've done over the last few years is when I'm reading through the Bible, I'll see something that talks about his heart or his compassion or how he feels about something. And when I realize in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, in terms of, and this is another kind of argument for the consistency of the Bible, here he is saying in Ezekiel and saying in 2 Peter through these guys, hey, I don't want lost people to die apart from me. That's not my heart. It might happen because of their choices, but it's not my heart. It grieves him. And I began to be grieved for what he's grieved. I think I shared with you all earlier when I was discipling a guy the first 10 years after coming to Christ and my heart wasn't really growing in intimacy with Jesus. He said he felt like a project because my heart really hadn't been broken for lost people and for guys that want to grow. And I read this psalm as I became awake to the hurting people all around me. And this is God changing my heart, guys, in the process of becoming intimate with him and spending time with him in prayer. And it says, this is the Living Bible. One day I went into God's sanctuary to meditate and thought about the future of these evil men. What a slippery path they are on. Suddenly, God will send them sliding over the edge of the cliff and down to their destruction. My brother Brandon, my brother Alec, the minute their heart stops if they don't know him. An instant end to all their happiness, an eternity of terror. Their present life is only a dream. They will awaken to the truth as one awakens from a dream of things that never really were. So this temporary life of 75, 80, 85 years becomes a dream when I wake up in eternity in reality. And hopefully we'll be loving each other and spending time, and all the guys who couldn't make it will be there and so on and so forth. But the people that are lost, that slide over the cliff and all of a sudden they wake up, it's like, wow, this is reality. And what I went through chasing career, chasing money, whatever it was, and not God, and now I'm stuck here. And so God's, over time, breaking my heart, softening my heart to care about these things and spend time with folks that were lost. John 17, 21 through 24 is an important prayer. Some of you guys know this, but in the first part of chapter 17, Jesus prays for his disciples. But then he says, I pray for those who will come to know you. That's us. And Oswald Chambers talks about the relentless focus and pressure that the Lord places on our lives to become one with him. That's his desire, to connect us. And so Jesus says, my prayer for all of them, for us, is that they will be of one heart and mind, just as you and I are, Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us. And the world will believe you sent me. Father, I want them with me, those you've given me, so that they can see my glory. So the desire of Jesus to be connected. There again. So in growing in prayer, learning about prayer, my heart's changing to desire. I look forward to being with him. Now, Rick Shelton goes to bed every night, can't wait to get up the next morning. And I used to hear him say that, and I didn't understand it. Okay? And now more and more, I'm getting that. I look forward to being with you. He's going to reveal something new about himself or about me the next morning. So worshiping from John 4, 23 through 24. And I think this is when, it may be when Jesus is talking to the lady at the well, who went and said, hey, come meet a guy who told me everything I ever did. Remember that, guys? The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So head knowledge and heart condition, melding together, right, in perfect oneness. That's what he wants. And he wants to be in the middle of that. I talked about this desire to be with him, but I want to share this psalm, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, 27, verses 4 through 6. The one thing I want from God, the thing I seek most of all, is the privilege of meditating in his temple. living in His presence every day of my life, delighting in His incomparable perfections and glory. There I'll be when troubles come. He will hide me. He will set me on a high rock out of reach of all my enemies. Then I will bring Him sacrifices, which is my life, and sing His praises with much joy, always being prepared to give an answer, in my heart setting apart Christ as Lord. I want to do these things, guys, because as I get in the Word and I believe what He's saying, it's supernatural. Because in my own power, I would do what I did in the past and just chase those things I thought gave me significance. But God's changing my heart to desire to be with Him. The one thing I want is to be with Him. Like Paul said, I consider everything else rubbish or filthy rags other than knowing Christ. I read that and I was like, yeah, that sounds great, Paul. Yeah, that sounds great. But now I'm getting it. Now I understand what you're talking about. When I get to see him someday, I'll thank him for writing that. So I love imagery. And here is clearly a father loving his son. And that's the image of God holding me in his lap. And that little boy, look at the look on his face. Isn't that amazing? And that's how I've come to understand God is toward me, right? To making a connection. Answered prayers. I've misplaced my notes, but sorry. Bear with me. Well, it wasn't my prayer, but somebody's prayers were answered in September of 1992 when I accepted Christ. So, Tom, I'm sure you were struggling with where I was, just as I was, and praying for God to work in my life, and God did it. My marriage, healing my marriage, largely by changing me, where I prayed that God help me see Sherry as you do, soften my heart to love her and serve her, even if there's no reciprocation. And he supernaturally gave me the ability to do that. Forgiving my father, you know, a man I couldn't stand so much that I decided to get out of Houston and go the farthest in the state that I could, so I could still get in-state tuition to go to college. And then later on, restoring our relationship, a man I didn't understand, that at times I hated, that was so hard on me. And at some point, after God changed my heart and softened, where I wasn't judgmental of him, and I would go spend time with him and mom at their house and just be with them and listen. And what happened, this man that had no spiritual activity even on his radar went to the mayor's prayer breakfast, came to my office afterward and drank a cup of coffee and talked about the speaker, started going to a Bible teaching church in our neighborhood, and I got to go with my dad and worship God in this church with my dad. Things that I had no fathom could ever happen. Amazing. Relationship with my brothers. When I accepted Christ, I burned these guys up, man. Told them about Jesus. You got to get right. You know, you're a sinner. And I meant well, but just fried him. You know, fried these guys. My brothers stopped calling me. At some point, as I realized what I had done and just started loving them and praying for them, they started calling me back. Now I talk to them at least once, my brother Alec every week, my brother Brandon every now and then, but way more than it was before. God's restoring that. I'm hoping that eventually he'll draw their hearts to him. That's a great desire of my heart. My sister Amy, who, as Charlie could tell you guys, I've been estranged from her for some years, and she and my wife, she spouted out hate toward my wife out of the blue. I think it was 2009 that this happened, and I had to go to my, and it came from my mother. My mother had told my sister some things that were not true. So I went and confronted my parents in love and said, Mom, you told this to Amy, and then Amy attacked my wife. I took a stand for my wife and said, I cannot have a relationship with y'all if this is how you're going to treat Sherry. And my dad lovingly took me outside and said, Andrew, you know, I've got to take your mother's side on this, but I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. So we had to separate for a time, which was very painful with my dad, but he understood. And in time, my mom softened. She reached out to my wife and reconciliation happened. A miracle. In time, my sister Amy didn't come to Charlie's wedding, but she did come to my daughter Laura's wedding. And I went to a couple birthday parties of her daughter Macy. I have a relationship with her daughter Macy. I gave her a Bible. She told me recently, "Uncle Andy, I read that whole Bible you gave me. What's next?" Wow. So, yeah. Give me that verse, Macy. That we. So God is so good at that. In that. I told you about Gary, my old boss, who's kicking me out of the wolf pack, and how he came to me later looking for a job. I still am praying for his salvation. Relationship with my in-laws, my father-in-law David, who died in 2016, my mother-in-law Jeannie, who's going to be living with us in a few months. I was hard on them, guys. I judged them for their church, and I wasn't loving. But as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, becoming all things to all people so that I might win some, God revealed to me in my prayer time, in my times with him, man, stop. You got to stop doing that, man. You got to just love him and go, like John Ridgway would say, go when you're with the Episcopalians, have a good time. When you're with the Catholics, have a good time. Do the Episcopal thing. Do the Catholic thing. Do the Hindu thing. Don't get caught up in the law, in the rules and regulations. And God began to restore my relationship. I went from an a-hole to paying for my wife to go to Mo Ranch. I mean, my mother-in-law. My father-in-law, but right before he died, wanted to study the Book of Romans. And ALS had stripped him of many of his abilities. It's a terrible disease. But he wanted me to read to him in his chair. And during the last month of his life, I had to go over there every night and every morning to change his diapers. And I got some conversations with him in his last month. Never got to read Romans with him, but God was at work in the healing process. My wife a couple years ago had a cancer scare, and we thought she had ovarian cancer. She had a large mass the size of a grapefruit inside. Remember that, Charlie? Wow. And I learned a valuable principle in that. I was sitting in that boat in that picture, and I reached out to my Paul, and he said, "Andy, this is a chance for you to learn to walk by faith, not by sight." Okay? My sight was bleak. I read up on the type of ovarian cancer they thought she had, and she would have had months. This was the bride of my youth. And the kids are out of the house, and it's time to chase her around again. And she might die. And it was terrifying to me. And God, whatever that thing was, when they took it out, it was not malignant. And an answered prayer. Now, if she had died, would that have been an answered prayer? Thy will be done. If God, that's what's going to happen. I had to get to the point, and I did, men, to accept that that was a reality, that she could be gone inside of 6 months. And I began to become at peace with that. And so God has been very gracious. And these are just a few examples of the prayers he's answered. But as Oswald says, prayer has changed me. And then he begins to change the things around me. He's done more in my life with me as a spectator than ever has happened with me as a participant. I'd say an overt participant. With me trying to make things happen and change people, didn't work. With me being available to him and largely just being a spectator. And when Jesus told those guys in the garden, "Watch with me and pray," he's like, "Watch what's going to happen, guys." Right? But they fell asleep. The lighting in here doesn't do this justice, but this is a picture of Marquette, Michigan, on Lake Superior, up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Has anyone ever been up that far north? Jay, it is, John, it is, like I said, it is beautiful. To the right is Canada, if you're looking to far north. This is standing on I was standing on the shoreline. I was doing work for a client up there. And it's called Presque Isle Park, and it's gorgeous. And I remember sitting on there as the sun went down, and I had a Bible app, and I was reading some Psalms about how wonderful God is. And it struck me that how much better this would be for the love of my life to be sitting with me watching this sunset, to experience this great, beautiful, awesome sight. And that's how God is. He wants me to experience life, to look outside, to hear the birds, and enjoy the wonder of His presence. That's why I was created. Isn't that awesome? And so, in His goodness, a few years later, I had an opportunity for her to come with me. It was awesome. In fact, when we went, it was Memorial Day, and there's still chunks of ice in the lake. And I told her I was going to jump in. She said, "No, you're not. That was a mistake." So Sunday morning, I went and dove in and got right back out. I'm sure I suffered major shrinkage. But that was awesome, you know, and to have her with me. And then we went to Green Bay, and I'm a football fan, went to Packer Stadium, took a picture of us down at the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Actually, we're making real good time, fellas. I'm going to give you some time back. So anybody ever heard of Watchman Nee? Yeah. He's written some great books. He was a Chinese evangelist who was very active in the 1920s. And I put his beginning and ending dates up there just as a reminder to me to number my days. But this guy was very effective, and a great quote. And remember, one of my fond memories as a youngster was getting a train set from my dad. And so I love trains. And so when he talks about here, really grab me, please grab onto this if you can. Our prayers lay the track down which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, His power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. So prayer are the rails that we build to allow God to work into my life and into the lives that I'm interceding for people around me. So once again, our prayers lay the track down which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, His power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. Does that make sense, guys? A train as powerful as it can't move without the rails to run on. Tracks for prayer. I'm a big railroad fan. Charlie's going to tell Mom how goofy this was, but there's four units, probably 2,500 horsepower each, what those are rated at. This is the Missouri, Kansas, Texas Railroad. Used to run up and down Katy Freeway about 20 years ago. Some of you guys remember getting stopped by it. But these are the tracks, and there's a mighty locomotive, and God is coming on down the tracks as I'm faithful to pray. He's coming at my wife. He's coming at my pride. He's coming at my stubborn will. He's coming at the salvation of my brothers, my sister. And He's coming at the growth of guys that I love, like Jason. I'm pouring my life in, my son, Justin, Joe Little, Henry Newcomb. And I'm just standing here. Use me too, God. Right? So there's a great song. John, can you help me?
Sure.
Can somebody help me pass these out? I'm going to close with you guys listening to this. It's a song, it came out of an album called Savior. Have you ever heard of that? There's a guy named Whitley Phipps. He's a great, you'll hear his voice on here. But I'm going to play the music, and I would like you guys to listen.
Yeah.
After you get this, I'll ask you what I want you'd like you to do. Thank you. So don't flip to the back page. There's another song I was going to play for y'all by the Goo Goo Dolls. It's called Iris. If you look at the lyrics, you're curious. To me, it captures the lost guy's heart. That he just doesn't want anybody to know him, because he's afraid you'll know if you see what he really is. And one thing that attracted me about the movement, Christ in this movement, is guys who are transparent. And it freed me up to be transparent, so that meeting with a guy, he could know who I really am. So I'm not going to play Iris. We don't really have the time. You might look at the lyrics at some point. But My Heart Belongs to You to me captures what I've been trying to get across to you guys this weekend. And as you listen, it's a duet between the voice of God and the voice of man. And it's a very moving song. So let your emotions stir your heart. Let you be inspired as you leave here that this is how God feels about each of us. And he wants intimacy with us. And the way that happens is through prayer. So indulge me while I play this and you follow the lyrics.
Thank you.
Man, I love that song. You know, as I listen to it, I really hear his voice, that he wants me to participate in life with him. This is his heart's desire. Can anybody sense this in these lyrics? I wish I could sing like these guys. And this is an image that I love. I have it in my Bible. It's a little plastic card, and on the other side is Psalm 16. And it talks about the heart of Jesus toward me. And that little lamb is me, each of you guys. Okay, and that's what he wants. Remember the picture of the Father and the Son earlier in the sitting down in a field? And this is intimacy. And I get that through prayer and by spending time with him. So in closing, this is a great verse to close with, guys. From Ephesians 3:18 and 19. And a good follow-up to this song. May you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it, or fully know or understand it. And so at last, you'll be filled up with God himself. That's amazing, isn't it? And that, the lyrics of that song, where they're harmonizing together, is a beautiful picture to me of allowing God to harmonize his life with mine. As I get in the Word and become more like him, spend time with him in prayer, and then be available to him for what he wants to do in the lives of people around me. So fellas, that's it. This was a rocket session. So I know you're tired. It's been a long weekend. Thank you for listening to the song with me. The song gets me every time. I thank God for it. It's a great illustration of what I've been trying to communicate to you guys. So let me close this in prayer. Oh Lord God, you are so good, so faithful, and so mighty. Hallowed be your name. I pray for these men, Lord, that you would, if you haven't already, that you would touch their hearts. If they've been struggling with prayer, and can they really communicate with you, and can they really influence you, take them to your word. Overcome their will, just like as you had to do with mine, to believe your word, to take you at your word is true. And this is a gift of faith, just as the gift of salvation was when I became a believer, and just as it is as you've grown me to become a follower. Lord, I love these men, and I've wrestled. You know how I've wrestled in moments of exasperation and moments of exhilaration preparing for today. But my heart, as they go away from here, that their heart will be knit closer with yours. You'll give them a desire to pursue you. And just as you did with me, you'll show yourself faithful to reveal yourself to them. And that they would be encouraged, and they understand how wide and deep and broad and endless your love is for each of them. It's in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, that I ask these things. Amen.